commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For evil will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. And then the line at the top of the page, Jesus Christ's own words, Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Mark.
It's great to be here with you this lunchtime. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, if that's all right with everyone else. That's what we think, isn't it? When we think about meekness and when we think about humility, which is what we're going to be doing this lunchtime. I wonder if anyone has seen on the internet. It's an American comedian. I can't remember his name, but he's done this great sketch called The Me Monster. The Me Monster. We will have all met a me monster, maybe in our office, maybe in our homes, maybe in the areas in which we, on the tube, in the areas in which we move. The me monster is someone, a dinner party, someone who talks and talks and talks and talks, and the content of their conversation is generally autobiographical. It is all about me. Did I tell you about the deal that I pulled down? Did he tell you about the triathlon that I've run myself? It is all about me. The home that I've just bought, the extension, the holiday in Aspen, skiing in the French Alps. Me, me, me. And it's terrifying as we are sat there listening to this person, man or woman. But thankfully, the me monster, the majority of them, have not understood the art of circular breathing. They have to stop and breathe. And when they stop, it gives you an opportunity to say something. And as you're speaking, you become aware that the me monster is watching your lips and waiting for an opportunity to, bang, come in again with another story about me. And what they're often doing is they're saying, you, me, you, you, me. Do you see the difference? And you sit there thinking, well, I guess I do now. Thank you. The me monster. We've all met them, haven't we? And if we're honest, there is a bit of the me monster in each one of us. And you say to me, well, hold on a second, Mark, that is totally natural. That is the air that we breathe. Might is right, surely. It's totally, you know, for us to survive in the city, we have to be those who put ourselves forward. Mark, it's all very well for you. You're a vicar in Seven Oaks, in sunny Seven Oaks. You're a field mouse who has come to the big city to tell us to be humble. Are you serious? But I know that's the air that you breathe. I've got a friend who works for a German bank not far from here, and his boss gave him some feedback, and he said, what you have to do, James, is you have to push yourself forward. You have to stand and confidently talk, even if you don't know what you're talking about. That was the advice that his boss gave him. Yeah. I know what it feels like to be in the offices that you're in. As Richard said, I used to be in the Royal Marines. And the Royal Marines officers' mess is very similar to a silverback gorilla sanctuary. There is so much kind of ego and muscle and pride that is my brother used to come and visit me. And he used to ask, the barbed wire on the fences around the camp, is that to stop people from getting in or to stop the gorillas from getting out? How on earth? Am I supposed to be meek in the world in which I live? The world says, blessed are those who push and shove and climb the ladder and stab the bat, because they will inherit the world. That's what the world says, isn't it? And Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And Jesus is describing what it looks like to be a Christian. He's saying you are to be distinct, different to the world around you. I think that's what the Beatitudes are. We haven't got them in front of us, but there's a series, there's a list in a sense, and that is Jesus holding a mirror up to all of our faces and saying, as we look at these various qualities, do I see myself in them, or do I see someone who is more like the world around me? That is the challenge we have to ask ourselves. Jesus says to us this lunchtime, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. What does it mean to be meek? in the face of unjust criticism, in the face of unwarranted flack, in the face of unfair opposition and suffering, the meek person is someone who entrusts themselves to God. That's the first point on your sheets that you'll see there. The meek person is someone who entrusts themselves to God. The meek person is someone who keeps calm and carries on. That war slogan's everywhere at the moment, isn't it? On posters. I went into my boss's home, the rector of the church that I work for, and his wife has got this mug that says, stay calm and drink champagne. I come from Seven Eight, so that's what we do then. And in a sense, it's a war slogan, and that's appropriate for us, because it is a battle to stay meek. It is a battle to achieve humility. Keep calm and carry on is what the Christian does, because he or she knows that God has got his back. Let's just have a look at those verses in Psalm 37. Psalm 37, which you've got in front of you, there's a direct quote. Jesus is quoting from Psalm 37. He's quoting from Psalm 37, verse 11, isn't he? He says, "The meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace." What does it mean to be meek? It is meek, not weak. It is meek, not floppy and timid. It is meek, not a doormat. Meekness comes from strength and self-control. So what does the meek person not do? Verse 1 of Psalm 37, he does not fret. Middle of verse 7, he does not fret when men succeed in their ways. Verse 8, he refrains from anger and turns from wrath. He does not fret. It leads only to evil. The meek person, man or woman, is someone who does not get angry and fly off the handle and explode at any given situation. He is someone who does not fret. He is someone who turns away from anger, turns away from wrath. And you say to me, "Mark, that sounds like the most unnatural thing in the world." But that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, when you encounter unjust suffering, unfair opposition, unwarranted criticism, the meek person does not get angry and fly off the handle. And that is unnatural, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I get angry when I am justly criticised and fairly punished for something that I've done. You know, you're going shopping, you drive, you park the car in a place that you know you're not allowed to park the car. And you think to yourself, "I'm just going for shops for 5 minutes, I'll be back in a second." And sure enough, you go for shops, you come back, and there's a parking ticket on the car. What is your response? Fury. It is, isn't it? How dare they? How could they do that? I was only away from it. I struggle not to get angry when I am justly criticised and punished. Jesus says we are to be meek. We are not to fret when we are unjustly criticised and punished, when we unjustly face persecution. Why? Why is that? How can the meek person do that? Well, have a look. Have a look again at that psalm. You see, the meek person knows that ultimately evil will wither. Verse 1. "Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away." Evil withers. Have a look at verse 9. Verse 9. "Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land." And then verse 13, which you don't have. "But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming." How do I be meek in the office? Answer: remember that evil will one day wither away, and remember that the Lord will prosper his people. That's our verse, isn't it? Verse 11, "But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace." There is great peace, there is great blessing for those that are meek, for those that humbly follow the Lord. So in the face of unjust, unfair, unwarranted criticism and behaviour, the meek person does not fret and does not fly off the handle. What do they do? Verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good." Verse 4, "Delight yourself in the Lord." verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him.
That's what the meek person does. He entrusts himself to God.
He trusts in the Lord. He delights himself. He commits his way to the Lord. He is still before the Lord and he waits patiently for him. The meek person keeps calm and carries on because he knows that God has got his back. And in a sense, Jesus is the ultimate example of that, isn't he? I don't know how much you know about the life of Jesus, but Jesus was born a helpless babe in the most humble of circumstances. And as a baby, you know, those of us that have had children know that babies are totally helpless, aren't they? They can't do anything but entrust themselves to someone else. And this baby was born in a context where the king of the land and all his soldiers were out to kill him. What does the babe do? He entrusts himself to his father in heaven. And sure enough, his earthly father takes him away to Egypt. As Jesus grows up, he wanders the land with nothing. He doesn't have a pillow, the Bible tells us, he doesn't have a pillow to lay his head on. He doesn't have a home to call his own. Where does his food come from? He entrusts himself to the Lord. As he enters into Jerusalem on that last time, he knows he's entering a death trap. He's walking into a death trap. What does he do? Does he go armed to the teeth, riding on a white horse with a whole host of soldiers riding him behind him? No, he doesn't. The Bible tells us he rides into Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey, the foal of a donkey. He's humble, he's gentle, he's meek, he's entrusting himself to his Father. As Jesus is nailed to the cross, what is he doing there? He is entrusting himself to his Father. How does he do that? Well, he knows that one day evil will wither, evil will fall, and he knows that the Lord will prosper him. And that is exactly what we see, isn't it? That the tomb didn't hold Jesus. 3 days later, he rose from the tomb and he ascended into heaven. And sure enough, just as God promised, he seated his Son at his right hand and he's given him a name Jesus, that is above every name, so that one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is the Lord. Jesus is the ultimate example of what it looks like to be meek. He is meekness personified. He entrusts himself to God. It's hugely challenging, isn't it? To us, to me, to you sat here this lunchtime. It's hugely countercultural, isn't it? Can you imagine if you're in the office and you get the blame for something that you didn't do? How do you respond to that with meekness? That is so hard, isn't it? Imagine someone on Facebook writes something about you that's just not true. Gossip, almost lies. How do you respond to that? Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. The meek entrust themselves to God. But secondly, the meek humble themselves before men. And the Beatitudes, the one that we're looking at today, Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, is the third of a list of Beatitudes, blessings. And here's what the first two say. And I wonder whether there's a kind of accumulative thing going on here. The first one says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The second one says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And the third one says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And I wonder if there's a sense in which, for me to be meek, I need to come through the first two. I need to be someone who is poor in spirit. I need to be someone who understands the poverty and the sickness of my soul. I need to be someone who sees my heart as it is. I need to be poor in spirit. And I need to be someone who mourns, who grieves, who weeps over the way that I fail over and over and over again to live up to God's holy law. Only as I have that self-awareness will I then be meek and humble. It's hard work, isn't it? Listen to a prayer that I've been thinking about. It's a Puritan prayer. And the guy that's praying it, he says this: help me to humble myself before thee by seeing the vanity of honour and praise, by seeing that thy will must alone be done, by seeing that my heart is nothing but evil, mind, mouth, life, void of thee, by seeing that sin and Satan are allowed power in me, that I might know my sin and be humbled, by seeing that unbelief shuts thee from me. Genuine self-awareness will lead to this kind of meekness. The Apostle Paul, he was someone who had this self-awareness. He understood the workings of his heart. He longed to do good things, and yet those were the things that he struggled to do. And the evil things that he didn't want to do, they were the things that he ended up doing all the time. And he says in Romans chapter 7, "What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of sin?" The meek person is someone who is self-aware and humbles himself, herself, before men. The meek are amazed that God or man should ever think good of themselves. Here's how a famous preacher put it. He said this: "When a man truly sees himself, he knows nobody can say anything about him that is too bad." The meek person says, "Why would you ever praise me or respect me or love me if you only knew the truth of my heart? If you only knew that every word, every thought, every action is tainted, stained, corrupted with self-love." Now, the meek are amazed that anyone would ever think good of them. And the meek person is never defensive. What have I got to defend? Seriously, what have I got to defend? If you only knew half the truth about my heart, your attacks, your criticisms, your perhaps gossip, so many of these things are actually deserved. The meek person is never defensive. The meek person has no whiff of self-righteousness. I remember saying to a friend, you know, one of the sins that I struggled with is pride. And quick as a flash, she said to me, "What have you got to be proud about, Mark?" The meek person is never self-righteous. There are no airs and graces when it comes to the person who is meek. He's utterly approachable. And the question is that what we are like in our offices? No airs and graces, no self-righteousness, no judgmentalism. Anyone would be happy to speak to you. Is that what the person working in the reception would think of you? Is that what the person who cleans would think of you? The meek person would not have a whiff of self-righteousness. The meek person is someone who is teachable. She needs all the help she can get. "Please help me. Help me." She is soft-hearted. He's open to the Spirit's promptings. He has a tender conscience, aware of his own weaknesses. And the meek person has no time for self-pity, no time for bitterness, no time for resentment. So often our natural inclination is to stand upon our rights and say, look, this is what I deserve. I deserve good health. I deserve a good job that satisfies and fulfills me. I deserve a wife or a husband who will love me, children who would obey me in my dreams. I deserve a home that is big enough for me to live in. These are the things that I deserve. The meek person says, "I deserve nothing. Nothing. What do I have that I haven't received? Seriously, I deserve nothing. All of the blessings that I've been given, physical blessings that I've been given from God, yes, I enjoy them, but they're not my right. I deserve nothing." In fact, the meek Christian realizes that he deserves condemnation. That's what we deserve. And yet, miraculously, the message of Matthew, the message of the Bible, the message right at the heart of the good news of the gospel, the good news is that whilst I deserve condemnation, God, the holy, pure, righteous judge of all, looks at me and smiles. He rejoices over me. He delights in his children. How can that be possible? When I struggle with pride, when I struggle with anger, when I struggle with all of these things that we've been talking about, how can that be possible? Answer: through the humiliation, through the meekness, through the lowering of his Son, the Lord Jesus. Jesus, not only did he entrust himself to the Father, but he humbled himself before men. There was not a whiff of self-righteousness or self-pity when it came to Jesus. Jesus didn't walk around with airs and graces. He humbled himself before men. He took on flesh, didn't he? He took on the nature of a servant. He didn't consider equality with his Father as something to be grasped, did he? He let go of that, stepped down. To be nailed to a cross. Jesus says in Matthew, he says, "Give me your load, for I am gentle, I am humble, I am meek." He uses the same word. He is nailed to a cross where he endures humiliation, the shame of the cross. What's he doing there? He's entrusting himself to his Father, and he is humbling himself before man. I wonder, as you look at the cross, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian here this lunchtime, as you look at the cross, as you look at Jesus' humiliation on the cross, do you look at that and say, I want that, I want that, I want to be more like that? Or do you turn your face away in disgust? Jesus humbled himself before men, and he, and only he, will enable us, his people, to do the same. Enable us to humble ourselves before men and women in our workplaces, in our homes, on the tube, and in the whole of our lives. Only he will enable us to entrust ourselves to God. But thirdly and finally, the meek will inherit the earth. It's actually the meek will inherit the land, the promised land. That is the promise that keeps Israel going through the wilderness. We will be there one day. And there's a kind of a present and a future component to this promise. There is a now and a not yet component. In a sense, the meek person is someone who today inherits the world. The meek person is someone who knows the secret of true contentment. If I deserve nothing, if I have no rights, well, in a sense, the blessings that the Lord has showered upon me, physical health, job, family, all of those kind of things, I don't cling on to them because I don't deserve them. So if they're taken away from me, well, in a sense, I'm still content. The meek inherit the land and the world in the here and now. But it's not just in the here and now, is it? It's far more than that. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit. They will inherit the land, the promised land, in the future. The meek will reign with the King, with King Jesus, in his new creation for all eternity one day. In a creation, in a world where there's no suffering, there's no sin, there's no sickness. In a world where no one's going to invade, no one's going to occupy the land, it's not going to crumble and fade away before our eyes. In a world that is so perfect and so beautiful and that is home, but we can't quite imagine what it will be like. And my guess is that once we've been in that land, for 80, 90, 100 billion years, we'll look back on the short life that we had here in this world, 70, 80, 90 years, and we'll give thanks and praise with all our hearts that Jesus was meek and laid his life down for us, and that Jesus is enabling us and allowing us to be meek in our lives. As we finish, shall we pray? And then I'll hand back to Richard. Father God, help us. We need your help. You know our frailties. You know our weaknesses. You know how tempting it is for us to explode and lose our tempers. Lord, help us, please, to be those who entrust ourselves to you. Help us to be those who humble ourselves before men and women. Help us to be those who stand distinctively and differently to those around us as we walk meekly through this life, waiting to inherit the land, the promised land. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.